Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars. But mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey, Jacob, what are we drinking?
We are drinking Hellcat Maggie, an Irish whiskey, one of my favorites, one of the best, in my opinion. Hellcat Maggie was a well-known criminal in Manhattan's Five Points District. Love the Five Points, and a member of the notorious Dead Rabbits gang, also known as the Roach Guard.
So the notorious DRG?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
She was a fierce street fighter and actually filed her teeth and nails into points to better shred her opponent's skin.
That's hardcore.
Yeah, this is a real-life figure.
For those of you who saw Gangs of New York, she is prominently featured in that film.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
That film should have been about her.
It really should have been, because Leonardo DiCaprio's character was quite literally the worst part of that entire movie.
Oh, yes. I thought Cameron Diaz was the worst part of that movie.
No. Daniel Day-Lewis was the best part of that movie, because Daniel Day-Lewis. However, it should have just been about him and Hellcat Maggie. Then it would have been totally sweet.
It would have been a great movie, yeah.
So we should, in fact, focus on the best thing.
Oh,
and
sorry.
Speaking of the best things... You're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon, as usual. I am NPC.
I'm Just Jacob,
the Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
And Poppy Beaujolais.
And today's episode is a counterpoint to one that we recorded a couple weeks ago for the worsts. Today we're bringing you the bests.
If I can point out to the logo on this Hellcat Maggie is one of the best. It is a side profile silhouette of a woman with literal scrapes across where her eyes should be.
Mm-hmm.
It is as beautiful as it is sinister, and I love it, and I almost want a tattoo of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I have considered the same thing.
Look at that. Look at that.
That actually looks pretty badass. Oh, wow. Now, speaking of other badass things, Xander, what is in my other cup here as a chaser?
From Bend Brewing Company, we have...
Oh, yeah.
Because I had to go and buy, based on the name, the Trade War Export Stout.
Woo!
Trade War Export Stout. You know when the weather guy tells you it's going to snow 3 inches overnight, and you wake up in the morning with 24 inches on the ground, and the plow has barricaded you in your driveway?
That's what she said.
No.
That's what you get up at 4 a.m.
Blee. Well, now you are screwed, because the only beer you have is a cold, crispy lager, and that's not going to cut it. What better way to get through a snowstorm than by drinking your meal? With a bold mix of coffee and chocolate, this classic export stout has a roastiness that will keep you warm on those lonely cold nights.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
I endorse this plan.
I do like those lonely cold nights with 24-inch plowings.
It took me over a year after I moved out here to not wake up at 4 a.m. in the morning during the winter.
To get plowed by 24 inches of
No, because I'd get up and to go outside and shovel the end of the driveway before the plow blocked you in, and then go get plowed afterwards.
I see.
Yeah.
Is that Minnesotan for schnockered?
No, that's Minnesotan for the bar opens at 7.
I thought we were talking about sex.
Well, you can mix and match.
Good God, Poppy.
Oh, sorry.
Get your mind out of the gutter here.
Never.
Because otherwise the plow will run right over it and tamp it down, and we're not going to find your mind till spring.
Yeah, that checks out. Winter is coming.
I'm sorry, Jacob. That was a very thawed joke.
You know, winter is coming. That sounds like a topic for another worsts episode. Let's bring this back to the best.
Yeah, the best.
The best.
The best around. That's going to ever bring you down.
And I don't know the song, but I'm going to sing along.
Well, you just missed the sports training montage that happened in the studio. It was pretty amazing. Thanks, guys.
I was pumping stouts, lifting whiskeys.
Yeah.
I'm so fit right now.
Just for some reason, suddenly Just Jacob was skiing. I don't know what happened.
It was cool to watch.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk our favorite things, guys. We kind of dove a bit into the negative last time. Yeah. So let's focus on the positive. Things we love.
Hey, NPC.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
What is your favorite ride you have ever taken?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would say that my favorite ride was when I had my old bike, which was actually also on my list of things to talk about as my favorite bike, because I miss my old 1982 Honda CM450 Custom. Mm. It's a beautiful, fun little zip-around bike. And the first time I took that bike out to the coast, we went all the way to Tillamook and then down 101 to Lincoln City, and then back home to Portland all in a day. And it was really awesome. That was the first time that I had left town on that bike, and it was exhilarating. Just, I felt free. It was a wonderful experience, and that is ultimately when I fell in love with riding motorcycles.
How long ago was this?
2011.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Late 2011. Late summer 2011.
What time of the year was it?
Late summer 2011.
So I should learn to listen to what you say.
And because you got your motorcycle in, what was it, March or April of 2011?
Yeah, and then a year later, I got another one.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I remember because I was your first ever passenger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was your guinea pig passenger.
because as we've talked about previously, I always like to name my vehicles, and that bike was named Mona.
Yeah, Mona.
Specifically after the character Mona Lisa from the third book in William Gibson's Cyberpunk trilogy.
Nice. And what was your favorite bike?
That one.
Nice. Okay. Okay.
Wrap that up in a bow. On to you, Xander.
Well, like you, my favorite ride that I have taken was earlier this year in the first week of September, when I decided to go and take the Black Dahlia kind of out of town for the first time. And I took a nice trip out to Astoria on Highway 30. And it was just a beautiful day. We went and we stopped in the town of Rainier at a little shitty looking dive bar to overlook the river there. And we were just going to go get a drink until we saw that the oyster shooters were cheaper than the Jello shots on happy hour. And they were three oyster shooters for $3.50. That is,
why are we still doing a podcast? Let's get in the car.
That place was great. And so my girlfriend and I got these oyster shooters, and they were just like the thickest, juiciest oysters. And we're just like, this is great. I don't hate this at all.
Again, why are we doing a podcast? Let's get in the car.
Yeah. And then we gassed up and went all on to Astoria. And the whole trip was just like absolutely lovely, including the time we couldn't get out of bed because we were too busy watching the dog, the Bounty Hunter Marathon.
Fantastic.
I've met him in an airport once.
I wondered why you started wearing these tank tops and weird fishhook jewelry.
and saying prayers before every podcast. It's a dog's fault. And there's a lot of great things that happened on the trip, too. I took the Dahlia over the Astoria Bridge, which on a scooter is a fucking lot of fun. It was exhilarating going across the Columbia River on that fucking bridge. We found a cool roadhouse bar with a shit ton of pinball randomly in it. That was all very good. Went to a cool cemetery, had lunch in Long Beach, which was always fun. We had a bunch of dive bars in there, went to Annie's Saloon for the first time. And then the ride back was also just a beautiful, beautiful ride, just sunny the whole way. And it was just kind of a stunning trip altogether. And really kind of seeing the capacity that the Dahlia had with the passenger on back as well. So thank you, Bitsy, for being a guinea pig as well. I'm glad I didn't kill you.
Yes, I'm glad you're not in prison as well.
Jacob?
All right.
What is your favorite ride or best ride?
My best ride. So my best ride since I came to Oregon has been on my second Honda Shadow Spirit. I packed some camping equipment and disappeared for 5 days, basically. I, at one point, realized I had did not know where I was at all, and had to sit down and break out an old school compass and do some orienteering to figure out what fire road I was on. But yeah, no, I ended up over the course of 5 days breaking out well over, I was doing over 250 miles a day. Several days I was upwards of 500, just screwing around all over Oregon, camping in sometimes in campgrounds or state parks and sometimes wherever I could find a flat spot by the side of the road. It was really great. It really gelled how much I liked that bike. And yeah, it was, that was my best one. I went from the coast all the way out to Eastern Oregon and back a couple times.
Was that your favorite bike?
No, my favorite bike is my current bike. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that. Part of it is my current bike is the one that helped me stand back up after the drunk driver nearly put me down permanently. So, but yeah, no, the second Honda Shadow Spirit, I'm a big endorser of, if I was to say I have a favorite model bike, Honda Shadow Spirit, chain drive, classic. It's a great bike if you have the arch to handle the gas tank. That's about it.
I almost got a Honda Shadow Spirit before I got my current bike. And instead, I ended up getting the Boulevard because I remember I sat on the Shadow Spirit at the, well, my buddy has a Shadow Spirit and I sat on that. And then I sat on another one at the dealership, the 2012 new one. I just didn't vibe with the configuration and positioning of the pegs.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. It was just the location of the pegs.
And that's a known issue. It seems to be that there's a couple ranges of heights that just don't work well with the geometry and stuff. And it's got that flat squashed tank, which doesn't work, especially with a lot of female riders because of how bodies are configured and stuff like that. So,
yeah, as a female body and short person, there's very few bikes that actually fit me, which is frustrating. And hey,
yeah,
motorcycle manufacturers, especially hello Zero, I see you. Please make a motorcycle with a 28 inch or less seat height. Please, please, and thank you.
Or at least make it easily adaptable. Unlike, yeah, I've heard your spiel, Zero.
Please, please, I will buy one of your motorcycles if you make it for short people. Thank you. Okay, I'm done.
So why Zero specifically?
Because they are all electric. Yes, they are all electric and they look really cool, basically.
So would you consider that to be the best?
I've not ridden one yet because they are too big for me. I cannot put my feet on the ground.
That seems like a detriment to safely riding a two-wheeled vehicle.
Yeah, I think that would significantly detriment against it being classified as the best.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't really want to operate a motorcycle wearing like 3-inch platform shoes. That just sounds
really bad. I was going to say, would watch.
Well, thanks, but...
That said, I will say that of the three electric motorcycles I have ridden, Zero is the best.
Nice. So one day I'll get on one. We'll figure that out. I went and sat on a few of them, and they're just too big for me. But, so, I can't say I've had a best ride so far on my brand new scooter. I've had some fun rides, and I've been coming more and more comfortable, but I'm still mostly terrified. But getting less, I mean, I'm terrified but comfortable. It's hard to explain unless you, are me. I don't know. So when looking, it's been a long
terrified and comfortable. Beaujolais story.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what I do for my day job is be both terrified and comfortable at the same time. So it's sort of I'm used to that state of mind, but terrified but relaxed, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been sitting here thinking about what has been my best ride, and it's really a toss up. And I know I'm always like, I have two. Sorry, guys. Fuck you. But it's a toss up between the first time I ever sat on a motorcycle and was both of my bests are as passenger because I recently started riding. So the very first time I ever sat on a motorcycle, I want to say it was 1993 or 1994. I want to say it was 1994. I was 13 years old and I was visiting my family in Southern Illinois, and my grandmother's best friend's husband, they're both big motorcycle riders, and he offered to take me on a ride on his motorcycle. And there's this great picture of me somewhere. I think actually you guys have seen it because it was at our Day of the Dead party. That was the day after our wedding on the memory table. Mm-hmm. So there's this picture of like 13-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
12 or 13-year-old me. It's the 90s, so I'm wearing a floral baby doll dress and black tights and Doc Martens. And I'm wearing a bicycle helmet because that's all they had.
I would like to see this.
I will find that picture and I'll show it to you. And Larry's name is Larry, took me on my very first motorcycle ride just around the neighborhood, but first time ever on the back of a motorcycle. What made it extra memorable was that when we were pulling away from my grandmother's house, he hit some gravel and almost dropped this huge touring bike on both of us. And I, in my little nimble, like 12, 13-year-old self, I actually jumped off of the motorcycle so that he could ride it without the extra, like, 100 pounds.
Did you do, like, a sick flip and land?
I was just going to ask the same thing.
No, but I did.
Just punched the ground with your fist.
Jumped off of it. I was very nimble at the time, so.
At this point, Bikers Dice and Bars would like to remind all of you that Bikers Dice and Bars believes in all the appropriate safety equipment at all times.
Yeah. For example, don't ride on a motorcycle with a bicycle helmet. Sweet Jesus, please don't do that.
A dress and tights. I mean, God.
But at least you had boots on.
I had my Doc Martens on.
Your feet were gonna be fine.
My feet were gonna be fine. The rest of me, And it was one of those really old, just like foam. Like bicycle helmets.
Oh, plastic, Jesus Christ.
Or anything. It looked like it was made out of a foam cooler.
You could
buy at the bait store.
Stop talking.
I'll show you all this picture. It's hilarious. Well, maybe we'll post it online.
I'm traumatized.
Sadly, Larry was in a horrific motorcycle accident a number of years ago, and he eventually passed away. So, you know, pour one out for my homie, Larry.
To Larry.
Thank you for my first ride ever.
And best ride. Yeah. And I will say, I've ridden three bikes so far of the motorized variety. My original Buddy 50, the Buddy 125 I took out for my motorcycle endorsement, and my current genuine hooligan, the Black Dahlia. And I will say, I fucking love that bike.
Nice.
The hooligan, shout out to Genuine Scooter Company.
You're looking to sponsor our podcast.
And yeah, y'all make some fucking good scooters. I've only ridden your scooters. They've all been fantastic. It's that mixture of being a very aesthetically pleasing looking bike. Also, shout out to my artist who put all the pretty things on there. Yeah. Art by Colt. I love you. And also, I've had several people actually tell me it looks like Batman's scooter, which I think is funny.
Nice.
But again, it's zippy. It's comfortable. I've taken it on long rides now, again, out to Astoria. It's good with the passenger on it. The gas mileage is ridiculous. It's easy to drive on a freeway. I take 84 out to work sometimes. Oh, yeah, fairly often, actually. It's a smooth ride. Just everything about that thing is just fun. So I love you, Black Dahlia. Thanks for treating me right.
And an additional shout out to Hooligan. Because it is the best sounding scooter, period. Like, I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't have the anemic hipster getting a wedgie sound. It doesn't have the we tuned a a high horsepower lawnmower badly, aka the ruckus.
Yeah.
It's not pretending to be a motorcycle.
No, it's not. It's proud to be a scooter.
It's proud to be a scooter, but it's a scooter with a very assertive tone to it. And I really appreciate that.
I do too.
My scooter doesn't sound like that, does she?
Your scooter whines. Yeah, scooter. Sorry.
Oh, well, that's good.
I think your scooter is beautiful, and I'm glad we got her, and I'm glad you love it, but that scooter whines.
It's a good starter bike for me.
No, absolutely.
So, possible hot take here.
Yeah.
My close second or tied for first best or favorite ride ever has to be 4th of July, 2011.
No.
When I was sitting
NPC had this really sweet look on his face, so I can't wait to hear the rest of this story.
NPC and I were not yet dating 4th of July 2011. We were friends. I had a bit of a crush on him, but we were just friends at the time. And we were, for 4th of July, we went over to some friends' barbecue and then did a motorcycle ride to go watch the fireworks. And I very distinctly remember riding across the Hawthorne Bridge or the Morrison Bridge. It must have been the Morrison Bridge. While the fireworks were going off over the river. And yeah, that was about 13 days later, I finally worked up my courage to tell him I had a crush on him.
So as a...
and how did that turn out, by the way?
Sorry, what?
What?
And how did that turn out, by the way?
So far, so good, I think.
So far, so good, yeah.
Wait, was the...
I think you were all at our wedding last year.
So. Oh! Sorry, it was only 8 days later that I told you I had a crush on you.
As an alternate point of view to that ride, you were enjoying the fireworks, but we were riding over the Hawthorne Bridge.
What was the Hawthorne Bridge? Oh, okay.
And...
That's terrifying.
Oh, no, or maybe it was the Ross Island. No, it was the Ross Island Bridge. We were riding over the Ross Island Bridge.
I can't remember.
Because the Ross Island Bridge gave a better view. So we were riding over the Ross Island Bridge, and you're the first ever passenger that I had on my bike. So and that was it. So you are enjoying the fireworks, and I'm just like, don't want to die. Dead straight ahead on the road on the Ross Island Bridge, which is a terrifying bridge as far as the general Portland bridges go, because people just haul ass over it, and there's no, there's really...
There's no divider in the middle.
Divider.
There's no divider. Yeah. There's no pull lanes.
There's no walls on the side either. So if you take a hit on a bike, you're going into that fucking river.
Yeah.
You're going to be swimming with the fishes real fast. Yeah.
As has happened more
than once.
It's
one of the few bridges that isn't a drawbridge, which means it's high enough that should you go off the side, not going to have a good day.
It probably wouldn't kill you.
But what if your bike landed on top of you?
I can jump off bikes. It's fine.
As we've already discussed earlier in the podcast, Poppy is the best at ninjing off of fucking motorcycles.
I don't know about 38-year-old Poppy, but maybe 12, 13-year-old Poppy definitely could.
I believe in you, Poppy. Oh, thank you. Always have.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to spin out on some gravel next time you're on the back of my bike just to prove that I still believe in you.
No.
Hey, Xander.
Yes.
What's the best game ever?
Board game, card game, computer game?
Take your pick.
Ooh.
Russian roulette.
Really dodged a bullet on that one.
Ooh.
So, all right. I'm going to go and say, oh man, this is so hard because there's so many different genres of games and I love different ones of them. I'm still going to go and stick with the game I've probably spent the most time on, which is going to be Fallout 3.
Yeah. Yes.
There's no surprise here at the table about that one.
No surprise.
No surprise whatsoever. It had, I mean, storyline was beautiful. I mean, if they were just to go and take the awesome story of Fallout 3 and combine it with the mechanics of Fallout 4, like, that would probably be an even more perfect game.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, just because Fallout 4 nailed things like gun customization and modding stuff was so easy in that game, and a beautiful fluid system, and whatnot. And even, you know, Vats just being slightly slowed down as opposed to a complete pause, I thought was a really nice touch.
There's a mod for that.
God damn it.
I played it that way since the game was released, Fallout 4, when it came out. Mods were already live, and one of the first mods that went up, and also the first mod I downloaded, converted the VATS from real time to pause.
Yeah.
Yep. The way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. But anyways, one of the things that NPC once told me when I was playing Fallout 3 and we were good friends way back in the day was that if...
good friends now?
No. We're best of friends. Yeah, because this is the best
around.
Oh God,
you guys are cute.
I regret this. but one of the things NPC told me was that if Fallout 3 does not move you while you were playing it, because of the fact that it takes place in a devastated Washington D.C., then you have no ounce of patriotism in you at all.
Right?
I mean, it's
yeah. That Fallout 3 was in the future, not now.
Well, if it happened now, I'd be like, meh.
Well, Fallout is technically based upon a 1950s version of the future.
Yeah.
Which means, yes. I guess they tried to make America great again.
Oh, and yeah.
After invading Canada.
Well, we should do that, actually. Yeah. We should definitely do that. I fully endorse the invasion of Canada. But
not Quebec. They can keep Quebec.
Damn.
We just lost Quebec, guys.
Also the Newfies. So I can keep the Newfies.
Okay, whoa.
We want their herring.
Oh, okay. We can have the Newfies.
Because we're hard up for herring.
Especially if they're red.
I hear that's just a hard herring. Wait, God. Red?
You're hard of herring.
What?
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 And again, best soundtrack, Fallout 3. Best soundtrack. And the just game aesthetics, the artwork design, everything about it, I thought was just so beautiful, and the ability to go and really customize a character down to what you wanted them to be, and the DLCs.
They were amazing.
Such
they were
good
top
DLCs.
Tier for Bethesda DLC too. Like you're not really used to Bethesda making good DLC. Horse armor, right? Horse armor. This is the horse armor company. But the pit
was devastating.
They were all great.
Mm-hmm. And also, and again, Fallout 3, very slowly, but very, very, very just above New Vegas, too. I fucking loved New Vegas. New Vegas even did the better, like, kind of morality system because they made me make some choices in that game where I literally... Because in Fallout 3, it was like, do you want to punch the kitten in the face or save it? And you're like, oh, I'll save a kitten, I guess. I don't even like cats, and I can't even choose punch kitten in the face option. Whereas Fallout New Vegas... would go and give you some really devastating choices. I remember going into one of the vaults because the vaults, doing irradiated water to these farmers. And you're like, well, I got to help the farmers. And you get down into the vault. And then you get the SOS message of the people that are stuck in the vault. And you have the option of either shutting them in forever and killing them or stopping the radiation leak. And I'm like, oh, great. I can either keep having irradiated water for these poor farmers who want to start a new civilization, or I can kill 30 people in this vault instead. Like, fuck you, game.
Excuse me for being a rural Midwesterner, but fuck the vault dwellers.
I did that choice every time. Don't get me wrong.
Okay, but it as long me. As you came down on the right line.
It hurt me. It hurt me to do that, but I did because I had to think of the greater good. But the fact that game made me think that way was really irritating in the best of all possible ways.
Jacob, best game ever.
Well, since we're kind of on the video game trend, I'll keep us there.
I know where
this
is going.
Oh, come on. Like,
Jagged Alliance 2?
Jagged Alliance. Jagged Alliance 2.
Yes, I called it.
Let's play the Can NPC Call This Every Single Time?
I mean, like, if we're going to be on video games, I mean, as much as I like I'm currently deep on Battletech, and I have played a lot of Battletech games in the past, but Jagged Alliance 2... Oh my God. There are so many different mods. I prefer Strakella.
Use your words, Jacob.
Oh.
Not your hands on your body. Use your words.
Oh, no.
Show me both hands.
On the table.
Okay.
Okay, here's both hands.
No, not here either.
So, Jagged Alliance 2 is at this point, a cripplingly old game. We're at the point where, especially when Windows 10 came out, you had to figure out new ways to actually continue to run the game. Mm-hmm. It turned out to be really easy, but for a while, it was really challenging. there's such a, to this day, devout modding community for a game that is at this point over 20 years old. It's amazing. The adaptation, so you can play it on modern monitors with wider screens and
Strychella or Striachella. I forget whatever it's called.
That's the one. Yeah. If you want to play the game in its close to purest without that. Otherwise, yeah, there's the 1.13 mod, which is like gonzo, off the walls, amazing, amazing improvements to graphics, more guns than God, bigger map, all of that.
Jacob, I've never played Jagged Alliance 2. The fuck is that game about?
Have you played XCOM or XCOM 2?
No.
Okay. Well, okay. Never mind.
Jagged Alliance 2 at its core is a squad level tactical simulation. You run a band of mercenaries that you have to keep paid and deal with all of the inter-unit political stuff because not everybody gets along with everybody.
Oh, fun.
And you are hired by a exiled leader of a South American country to help take the country back over from the dictator who deposed him.
Oh, cool.
And you are helping
so you're the Contras.
Well, sort of. let's just put it this way. It's less like Contra and more like if you were trying to usurp Chile.
Oh.
Ooh, too soon.
That's Pinot Chile.
Well, it's far more Pinot Chile than the modern thing. I mean, like, it's South America. It's always too soon.
Yeah.
It will never not be. I'm so sorry, guys. We fucked you guys on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. I mean, like, now that I have a desktop and I'm exploring new games, I mean, like, Daggerfall is a close number two, and I'm exploring more modern games now. That may change, but over a decade of my life, I have sold my soul to Jagged Alliance.
And I think that is a price well paid. Poppy.
Okay. My favorite or best video game, I'm going to go with the first and so far, I think, only PC game that I have played cover to cover. I'm not that much of a video gamer. I get bored pretty easily. And the fact that I've been playing Darkest Dungeon for as long as I have is kind of amazing.
I knew it.
But yep. That's not
NPC is 3 for 3 right now.
That is not my best game.
Oh, I know what your best one is.
My best one is the Rocky Interactive Horror Show PC game. And I had to look it up because I always call it the Interactive Rocky Horror Picture Show, but it's actually called Rocky Interactive Horror Show. It was released in North America in November of 2000, and it was a Windows-based game, and it's, of course, based off of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh.
And it's, oh, yeah. And for all intents and purposes, it's a puzzle game. It's okay. A point-and-click puzzle game. And there's just some weird shit going on in this game, first of all. But the best thing about this game is that not only is Richard O'Brien in it as the game devil, and he recorded their new music and some remakes of songs were also done for this game, but the criminologist is played by Christopher Lee.
Nice.
Okay.
I kid you not.
It was in a metal band, too.
Yeah. Oh, which is fucking amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this game, and one of these days, I still have this game somewhere in a closet in a box because it's challenging to run on modern computers.
I understand that because somewhere in my collection, I have on floppy disk, a Bill Plimpton computer game that they made for some reason, and they still can't figure out why.
Wow. So yeah, this was the first game, the first ever PC game that I sat down and played start to finish and beat the game. As first, I went online and I looked up tricks and tips and stuff to figure it out. And
this is online in 2000, right?
It wasn't an online game. No,
I know, but you said you went online.
Oh yes, I went on online in the year 2000.
The wild lands of the
oh, well, there was Rocky Horror Pictures. There were Rocky Horror Picture Show BBSs forever.
I miss those days.
And I'm sure it was either through somebody on Cosmos Factory. Hi Cosmo, that I found this through, but I remember the very end last puzzle, you have to switch all these like switches in the right direction to get the thing to do the thing. And then you win.
Kind of like Myst.
And I have no idea. I've never played Myst. So I remember I had it like written down. I had like the sheet of paper that I had written down, like the correct way. I'd drawn out the correct way to do all the switches. Cause that was the only way I was going to remember.
I hope you still have those doodles. I would love to see them.
No, they're long gone. But if I could ever get this game to play on a computer that I own, I can show it to you, because there's some weird, weird stuff going on in this game.
So, folks, if you happen to know how to get this game to run on a modern computer, please reach out to us at Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
NPC, what's your favorite computer game?
Well, if we're going with computer games, which appears to be the trend so far, I actually thought about this before we recorded, and it was really tough for me. And ultimately, it comes down to two games which I love identically for exactly the same reasons. These are two games that I consider perfect games. They are to me the best games.
Cheating.
They have a lot in common, but they are also amazing games.
Is it Dead Space?
No. Dead Space is an amazing game, but it is not the best. The best games that I played that call to me and speak to my soul are Beyond Good and Evil and Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, that's, you told me to play that game.
Yes, that one's on PS4, so it's an exclusive, is the PS4 one.
You know what's not the best? What? Exclusive.
Yeah. But... they are amazing games. They are third-person, more or less, kind of action games. Beyond Good and Evil has more puzzles. The stories are fantastic. Beyond Good and Evil was like PlayStation 2 era, but it's also on PC and Xbox and GameCube and everything. But Horizon Zero Dawn is only on PS4. And I think, Poppy, you referred to it as that game with that really pretty redhead.
Yeah, that takes place in Colorado.
Spoilers, Poppy. Sorry. But it's a post-apocalyptic kind of, you are basically a girl running around in homemade leather outfits, shooting robots with a bow and arrow.
Well, yeah, as you do.
As you do. It's a lot of fun, but the reason I love them both equally, because they each hit the exact same points for me. They have fantastic main characters that are well acted and have solid, relatable intentions that are not over-the-top cliches and are both women. That never happens.
Well, that's one of the reasons why Life is Strange was one of my favorite games, is they had a really well-developed female character lead where you can only play that character.
Yeah.
And her best friend is also female. And so the two main characters that are in that game are well-developed female characters.
What I love about these worlds, too, is that they all of the characters in these worlds, now Beyond Good and Evil, is a little bit more cartoony than Horizon Zero Dawn. But the cartooniness doesn't take away from the impact of the story. Even though it's more toony, both of them have amazing voice acting. And Horizon... That pushes through into, the uncanny valley effect when you're looking at realistic people, but they're clearly digital and it's kind of creepy. Horizon manages to make it just fantastical enough that even though the faces have realistic aspects, it's never creepy. And the expressions that are on those digital characters' faces are well done, to the point that it's a very emotional game. You relate to the characters in ways that I've never really related in many other games unless I imposed my own sense of morality like I did when I played my dad in Fallout 4.
Sure.
They have fluid animation, fluid motion of control and amazing music. And they're just goddamn fun. Fun games. They are, to me, the best two games ever made.
When I was a young lad, the RTS was my go-to game. The real-time strategy games. Poppy's giving me a look.
Real-time strategy is a genre that I just failed at miserably. Except for Warcraft 1.
Warcraft 1 was so fucking good.
Yeah.
Warcraft 2 was really fucking good. Warcraft 3 got stupid.
Not the best.
Not the best. However, Warcraft 1 and 2, mad shoutouts to those, spent a lot of time on you. But one of the ones that I love more than anything was the original Command & Conquer game.
Yep.
I never played it on PC, but I had it on my Sega Genesis.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
fucking awesome.
Some of my most epic online multiplayer match in the history of my gaming took place on Command & Conquer. It was a ridiculous experience in which I was playing GDI, the Global Defense Initiative, against a Nod enemy. And this guy didn't scout the entire game. It was really fucking weird. Everyone scouts. He sent a scout out. And I blew him up immediately. He sent no other scouts. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to build a big army, I guess. And his base was so well defended, all my scouts got instantly killed, but I knew where he was. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to build a fucking shit ton of mammoth tanks, I guess, and send them out to his base. And as soon as I did that, his army of fucking helicopters.
Yep.
And I'm like, sweet mother of God, what have I done? No, Flight of the Valkyries was in full force. And this army of helicopters comes out. And I'm like, oh, God, save me. And we just did that continuously. This massive, massive helicopter attack, massive tank attack. Because in this game, their mammoth tanks, if they're shooting anti-aircraft missiles, they can't shoot tank shells. So his base defenses were just destroying my tank army every single time. It was like a 2.5-3 hour long.
Yep.
Which in Command & Conquer times is a fucking long game.
We've been talking a lot about video games. I'd like to take this to the tabletop and give a very special mention here to what I personally consider the best gaming session I've ever had in my entire life. And I'm pretty sure Poppy was there. And I definitely know my buddy Gray Pawn, not Gray Poupon, but Gray Pawn was there. He is a longtime online friend of mine from that late wonderful social media platform, Google Plus. Rest in peace, Google R.I.P. Plus.
Would you say Google Plus was the best?
Google Plus was the fucking best. But no, Google Plus was the second best. The best?
ICQ?
LiveJournal. LiveJournal was the fucking best.
LiveJournal. Back in the day?
Yep. Yeah. Me and my tribe-loving heart have some issues.
Anyway, I would like to read a bit of text that I saved from Google Plus that Gray Pawn wrote back in, I think it was 2016, maybe even 2015, but he did an annual, the best games, the top games of the year post, top five games of the year. And this year, number one game was Hammer Crawl! For the Horde. I'm just going to read this aloud. With, oh my God, Christian and Jay, I was there, I think, and Poppy, right? Oh, God. Who else was at that table? People I don't know just met. I mean, I wasn't drunk, but I might as well have been. And by the time it was over, I was drunk on awesome. It was hosted by NPC and is equally entirely his fault. Our characters were a bunch of wusses, and then the ultimate badass, Caleb Fingerwhite, cleric of Big Bird. I can't even. Oh, no, I don't. I can't. How do you explain this game? It's like trying to explain the meaning behind the turn down for what music video. You just can't. It's not a thing you explain. I had a wand of command and I pointed it at a gnoll and I made him do 100 jumping jacks. I wrote a giant bee creature. I was just in an outfit that showed I worship Big Bird, which means I was just dressed like a moron in a Big Bird cosplay outfit. I was in a dungeon in a Big Bird suit. Magically commanding gnolls, there are no guitars upon which one could shred that equally capture the epic string-shattering solo this game is spewing into the universe. That, to me, is the best thing I've ever read, especially about something I created.
No. Well, again, dear listeners out there, if you have not listened to any of the Hammer Crawl series put out by our Breakfast Puppies Studios, you are doing yourself a disservice, and you probably should go and do that, as NPC is telling me I need to pour more beer.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Well, since you're opening another beer, how about you crack that and tell us about it?
All right. We are cracking open the Block 15 Brewing Dark Matter Chocolate Porter.
You just bring that over to my lips. Don't bother pouring it. Just give me the can.
Dark Matter is a dry porter that combines deep, roasty malt character with notes of cacao and dark fruit from the addition of chocolate to the conditioning tank. A rich blend of flavors that is balanced by a dry finish and a gentle malt acidity. Delivered fresh. We distribute all of our own beer to maximize freshness. That's it.
Hey, Poppy, I see you're not imbibing with us. What do you got over there?
I just cracked open a nice cold sparkling water.
Oh, baby.
LaCroix. I call it LaCroix.
Oh, God.
Because,
I will fight you.
Because that's how it's fucking pronounced.
The Nightcrawler.
LaCroix from, yes, the Nightcrawler.
Forever Night.
From Forever Night, yes.
Oh, God, Forever Night's the best.
Yes, it really is.
I have all of it.
Best ending of a television show ever.
No spoilers, I haven't seen it.
I haven't finished the series.
I know it came out like 25 years ago.
I am not going to spoil it. All I am going to say is it goes down as the best ending of a television show ever, ooh, with number two being the Lone Gunman.
What about Alf? No, Alf was one of the worst.
Oh. Alf was one of the worst.
Or dinosaurs.
Being like,
dinosaurs was amazing.
Are you kidding?
Dinosaurs is like somewhere in the top 10. But
I'm sorry. Shout out to The Prisoner.
Oh, yeah.
The Prisoner.
No, that's not even an ending. Nothing changes. It just keeps on going, and then fuck you.
Yeah. It's great.
Okay, anyway.
So I'm drinking sparkling water tonight.
You had a thing that you wanted to say before the beer was opened about Hammer Crawl?
I was going to ask, was that the Hammer Crawl game when the gnolls were all in the hole and we had to, like,
yes,
go down the hole and like kill the mom and then we're like, fuck! Like, I don't remember. We had
the
rope of yeah, climbing
the,
or
the rope of climbing and the rod of command.
Yes.
That was in the hole. That's how we rolled.
That was the game that opened up. We've actually interviewed Gray Pawn on this show at GameStorm this past season. And he actually talked about this session before. But anyway, that gaming session opened with the party stepping into the dungeon, finding all the monsters had left. And they found over 600,000 gold and a whole lot of things. So all the adventures at the beginning of the game retired immediately. It was the best game ever.
That was before you had even changed one of the mechanics. And we stumbled upon a dragon's hoard. And it was like,
I rolled on the wrong game system's treasure table.
Well, guys, I guess we're just going to call it quits.
And I was the only character. I like came back or something. I was like, I was the old lady or something.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that character sheet somewhere, I think.
My favorite was the second iteration of Shadowrun.
Oh, yeah.
Second edition Shadowrun, deep cut. Deep
no, the
cut.
Second iteration. Not edition.
Oh, yeah.
Iteration.
Although I do love second edition Shadowrun. That's what I'm
wait
near and dear to my heart.
Iteration or iteration?
So
that, yes.
Do I do words not good?
No, I don't. I don't actually. The they could both be correct. I don't know. Anyway, stopping now. Hello.
So NPC and I and a couple other cool cats did Shadowrun, and I made what is still, I think, my favorite character I've ever created, Mecha DuPont, my awesome Arcadian drone rigger character. And then we got together like a year or two later and did the second run of that Shadowrun game. And I remember NPC being the rat bastard that he is. When you go and you take character flaws, he will fucking exploit the shit out of that.
I think you were an alcoholic.
Yeah. I was an alcoholic that was also afraid of cats.
Wait, were you playing yourself?
I'm not afraid of cats. I'm going to ignore the first part of that. But because I also had a weak constitution, NPC went and made me... So the whole mission was to go and to invade a party boat on the Willamette River in the Shadowrun world.
Ooh.
And we had all the cool build up to all of that. The fake IDs and the uniforms to be the fake catering crew that went onto the ship. I had a fucking stealth boat. It was tits. Like, everything was great. I had a bunch of drones in the air doing all kinds of surveillance. And of course, when we go to be the fake catering crew on this boat, NBC goes, and you have rolled the bartender. Oh, God. Oh, and also, it just so happens that they have all your favorite liquor in stock. Oh, God. And so he just kept making me roll to avoid temptation to get shit-faced while I'm trying to go and be surveillance on our crew the entire time.
Allow me to re-ask my question.
It was not great. It did not end well, but it was fun. It was funny. I think they took me off the boat giggling.
You are so full of shit. That wasn't a game. That was last weekend. Stop lying.
So,
¿por qué no los dos?
So for me, my favorite tabletop role-playing game was one I actually ran. I've been in, you know, is a guy who is in his mid-40s at this point and has been gaming since first grade. There's been a lot of games. But my favorite was one I actually ran, and it's not because I ran it, and it's not because the story was super tight. It was how wonderfully affecting it was for the players. So as I mentioned on the mics before, I tend to run a lot of darker games. And in this case, it was the original version of Delta Green. And I was running for a group of players, and it was one of my consent-based games, which basically means that, like, we have a conversation up front about what is and is not off the table, except in this case it was, so here's the thing, you all have gamed for me before, you know I can bring in really triggering issues for folks if they're okay with it. How's everybody feel about a full throttle off game? And they said yes. That game was still being talked about 6 years later fondly. And for the next year and a half, one of the players would greet me every time she ran into me with "fuck you" and give me a hug. It was just at one point, one of the players was having to decide whether or not they were going to take out their own family in order to save the world. It was lots and lots of really hard choices. One player had to decide between their loyalty to America versus doing the right thing. It was lots and lots of very good choices, but they were all hard choices that were based on their previous decisions. And it was great because no one felt like I was picking on them. It was all predicated on the choices they made. It was a beautiful running story, and it only lasted 3 sessions.
Wow.
Fantastic. And good job.
It was like, that was the point where I realized that I, as a GM, specialize in short campaign format.
Did you feel like you had leveled up after that?
Oh, I had leveled up as a game master so hard. Like, it was just whole new levels.
And if I remember you telling me correctly, the last of those players was finally released from the Salem Hospital earlier this year.
We can't talk about that on the mic, Poppy. Well, they're back in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Although I will mention that as an aside, one of the players decided that they should take it up on the recommendation of their primary care physician in order to see counseling predicated on the stuff they worked through in that game.
Games are supposed to be fun.
We have an episode about therapy.
Games is therapy.
That is true. That is very true. Gaming as therapy. Oh, gosh. My favorite tabletop role-playing game.
Session. Specifically.
Session. it's always a toss up because mine are usually more about like emotion and meaning.
That's very important.
Not necessarily very the game.
That's fine.
So it's sort of a toss up between the game, the first RPG I had played since I was 16 years old and played my worst game of Mage and then gave up on RPGs until whatever year that was.
To your listener, you should go back and listen to The Worst.
The Worst. I played a game of Monster Hearts at GameStorm. And
Monster Hearts.
NPC was another, was a player. He wasn't running this game.
Was it the werewolf?
You were play. Yes, best night of your life.
No. That wasn't at GameStorm. That was at our friend's house.
GameStorm.
No, it was after GameStorm. But no, it was, I was Vlad, the queen. But the queen character ran the local LARPing group.
Yes. Well, that wasn't a GameStorm?
No, it wasn't. Yeah.
Oh, fascinating. Anyway, it was a one-shot, though.
Yep.
It was one shot. Okay, it was one shot. So maybe I'm thinking of something. Anyway, I think that was a game. I went into it. I was very nervous. And the first probably year or two that I was doing any RPGs, I was a very nervous player because I don't fancy myself as being very good at improv, which I think is almost laughable now. That I used to think that way, because it turns out I'm actually
shockingly good.
I'm an okay player. It turns out.
Yeah, I want to get you in some of my groups.
I can come up with some really twisted shit on the fly. Go figure.
As I said, I want to get you in some of my groups. There we go.
So it was really that helped build my confidence getting back into that game and not just being told no every time I tried to do something. And being in a situation and in a group where if I had questions or didn't know what the fuck was going on, like it was not a big deal that I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I could be like, what do I do and what do I have? Blah, blah, blah. And that was kind of started. And I was still trying to be a good girlfriend, you know, trying to go do this gaming thing with my boyfriend and trying to, you know, check out his interests and everything.
The things we do for love.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. But I think my favorite game of all time was the very first session of Hammer Crawl at GameStorm.
Way back when.
The very first alpha test of, and that was the one with the glass butterflies and the pit of lava and the rats. And we all, it was amazing.
I ran it as a take on Holmes era D&D, so Blue Book D&D, and it was ridiculous. I had found this generator online. I printed these characters, and we just sort of fed them to the dungeon. And half the party died in the first room.
Yep.
And then we spent half an hour with the survivors looting the bodies of their fallen friends. And then I realized. That's what this game is about. Yeah,
that was again. I don't remember. That was a game mechanic we came up on the fly. We were just like, can we loot those dead bodies? Like, can I have their stuff? Because we had our list of items was just ridiculous. Like, some of us were naked and had just like a backpack and a flask and like a sword. And some of like people had armor and like good stuff. And
one of the characters had random. 47 short bows.
47 short bows. But like naked, except for like a loincloth or something, you know.
You're not naked if you're clothed in 47 short bows.
Yeah. So we just started like negotiating with each other. Like, when you die, can I have your armor? Yeah, you can have my armor. So like willing things to each other. And
Sander, remind me to tell you the monofilament katana story sometime.
And I think that's part of the reason why I take a little bit of, or maybe a lot of pride in my cheerleading of Hammer Crawl after that game. Because I basically told Nathaniel, I was like, that was awesome. We need to do that again. Can we do that again? When are we going to do that again?
She says that she's tapping her veins right now.
And that was the best.
When are we going to do it? Yeah, that started something magic.
This is a special call out in one of the best games I've played in the past year, which was Xander, I need your help We played it at Wagon Con. It was a card game, Revolutionary War.
Oh, yeah. It was like Bunker Hill?
It was something
not
like...
Not Bunker Hill.
1776, was it called?
That might have been it, too.
Yes. That is...
That was a good game of deception.
That was an amazing game of deception. And Xander and I had already been developing quite the friendship up to that. And that's when I knew exactly how much I could not trust him, and it brought us closer together.
Love you, buddy.
Keep your friends close and your Xanders closer.
Exactly, especially when it comes to love and civil war.
Revolutionary War. So, Poppy, what's the favorite bar you've ever been to?
Oh, gosh, we're talking favorite bar?
Yeah.
Like the best bar ever.
Or favorite bar experience.
I thought we were talking about favorite drinks.
Yeah, that's why I threw you a curveball.
That's why you threw me a fucking curveball, you asshole.
Well, my favorite bar actually was called the curveball.
He can't be, trusted. Okay, favorite bar.
If only
bar,
that were real.
Favorite bar great. Experience.
Or favorite bar.
So favorite bar of all time, unfortunately, is no longer with us.
Oh.
It was in my hometown, Fort Collins, Colorado, where they make the New Belgium. But it was a bar called Chow Vino. And it was a wine bar. Surprise, surprise.
Really?
And yeah, I know. That's actually when I got into wine. Because for some reason, all of us theater kids just love to go there. Surprise, surprise. And there, so it became kind of my Cheers. I was there 2 or 3 times a week. All the servers and bartenders knew us. And we were told we were a staple of the bar, and that we were like rice. We were like rice. We were a staple of the bar. Like if we
were
there,
white,
that too. And me and my best friend Liz always went.
Hey, rice can be brown.
That's true.
This is true.
This is true. Just it can saying. Also be red and black.
And I am living proof of this. Continue.
It's true. And anyway, so favorite bar. I think my favorite experience at that bar was probably New Year's Eve of 2000. Let me think. How old am I?
29.
Brain. 2002. Yeah, New Year's Eve 2002. So 2003 was going to be the new year. And my friends and I said we're going to camp out at Chow Vino for the night. And we got there at 5 p.m. to get a table. We left at 2 o'clock in the morning. We stayed until the bar was closed down and locked up because the bartender gave us a ride home.
As you should end a night at a good bar.
Yes, yes. So thank you, Brian, wherever you may be, for giving our drunk asses a ride home after that. But we just had the best time. It was the first New Year's Eve where we were all finally 21.
Nice.
And we just camped out and had a good old time and just had food. And it was Liz's birthday is January 1st. So it's always her birthday party. And we just had a blast. And it's very, very memorable. Despite how much I drank, I can actually remember a lot of it. And it was just one of those great moments in time of being, you know, 21, 3 months away from being 22, you know, in college, just hanging out with my best girlfriends and just not having much of a care in the world.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
For me, it's the Halftime Wreck in St. Paul, Minnesota.
That's a good name for a bar.
Yeah, it's spelled Wreck, REC, but everybody who goes there on a regular basis spells it WRECK.
Of course you do.
The logo is, I'm going to show the logo because it conveys rather effectively the type of bar it is. It's a shamrock with a giant H on it. It is both a weird pseudo sports bar / bar from the 1950s / Irish bar. It did have a bocce court in the basement and had a Noraid donation jar on the end of the counter. And
a what now?
NORAID. If you need to ask, you we'll have a talk off the mics. Basically, they supported Irish unity.
Okay. Northern Ireland.
All of Ireland.
You mean the entirety of Ireland?
Okay. Yes. Gotcha.
It had live music on a regular basis, strong drinks, and I got thrown out of there on my 21st birthday.
Nice.
All right.
Because without even getting a drink, I might add.
Even better.
Because I'd been drinking there since I was 16. And I finally showed the bouncer my ID because he'd never asked for it before then. And he threw me out.
Probably just out of spite.
But it was an institution for the Irish St. Paul community for ages, and it was an amazing bar. I've heard it's changed a lot since then, but it's still my literal favorite bar.
Nice.
I was just enjoying their food menu while you were talking.
Yeah, it's changed a lot.
It seems fine to me. The one that comes into my head as being a fun traveler. He's pointing fingers at me. I don't know what it's like.
I'm guessing it.
He's got a guess, and I think he knows what he's going to guess, and I think he's going to be right.
So, speaking of Fallout 4, when I was in Boston 3 years ago in the summertime, I was hanging out with my sister. It was July, and being the traveler that I am, I was donning a top hat, a three-piece suit with tails in the muggy Boston heat, because I dress nice wherever I go. It was really hot. And going through old town Boston.
Kind of like him.
No, that's what I did to myself. Never mind. Sorry. Continue. Going through this back alleyway, I saw an Irish bar. And I went, I'm going to go in this Irish bar. I need a cold fucking beer right about now.
By people know how to drink and serve a bar.
And so I go into this Irish bar. And it's run by an old Irishman. Like, from the old country.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I like this place. So we sat down for a beer. And I get one pint. My sister actually gets a pint, which is unusual for her. And about 10, 15 minutes later, in front of the four or five of us that are sitting down at this horseshoe-shaped bar, the upside-down shot glasses come. And I go, huh?
Oh, son.
Mickey over there's not bought a shot for a man in a top hat before. So he's buying a run for the house. And I'm like a shot of whiskey? Yeah. Fuck yeah, I love this bar. So I get my shot of Powers.
Powers.
And I thought, I love this place. So I go to the jukebox. I start putting on the Pogues and stuff like that. And everyone's really happy. Shift Chains comes along. The old man goes to sit at the bar for his drink. And the young Irishman from the old country comes.
Yes.
And is now bartending.
Was it old Michael and young Michael?
Yes. Sure as fuck was.
One of the reasons I love the halftime wreck.
Yeah.
Lots of Irish expats.
Yeah. And so after the shift change, maybe there's 8 or 9 people at the bar now. The shot glasses come down again. I'm like, what the hell is going on now? Oh, Johnny, there's also never bought a shot for a man on the top out before. There's also been around for the house. I'm just like, I fucking love this bar.
Amazing.
I walked into the bar just sweating, hot, in need of a lager, and ended up leaving with like 3 free shots of whiskey. It's because these Irishmen wanted to buy a shot for a man in a top hat.
Nice.
God bless Boston. God bless Boston.
I'd love to go there someday.
Someday.
It's so pretty. You can walk the Freedom Trail, and if you played Fallout 4, you're shockingly good at directions for no apparent reason.
And, you know, it's an odd town. But yeah.
Wait, I sent you that picture, didn't I?
Yeah. Xander sent me a postcard from the Freedom Trail. It's hanging on my wall.
I remember when that came in the mail.
Yeah.
I was like, Nathaniel, you got something? You got a coaster?
A coaster? Yeah.
That's funny. I don't even remember what I wrote on the back of that. It's probably something really dorky.
So, Nathaniel, tell us about your favorite bar.
Oh, man. I think the best bar is Bottles.
Yeah.
Oh.
Shit. Okay. Well, okay. Hold on.
Hey, at least you're celebrating a corpse rather than a zombie.
I got some backups. Bottles is gone, but I think the other best bar is the Tugboat.
Oh. God damn it.
Well, shit. That's
you know, this right. was supposed to be the best, and you are being a downer, okay,
hold
bro.
On, hold on. Memories. I'm going to tap into some of my memories from my drag days.
Tap in.
I'm going to tap into them. My favorite bar in town from my drag days, definitely Embers.
Oh. What are you going to do, bring up Roots next?
Oh, come on. Jacob.
Well, I mean, if he's going to go for full body beatdown, let's Jesus just go Christ, all the way.
To be the hold on.
You know, hold on. I'm sorry.
I'm going to start throwing things at all.
Number four. I can't do those. Barbados.
Oh, God. That's where I spent my fucking 21st birthday.
Okay, let's go with something that is open. Best bar in town.
It better be an open bar, or I will start chucking cans at you.
Pirates Cove Gentlemen's Club, formerly known as the Sandy Jug, on Northeast Sandy, just a few blocks away from our recording studio. The Pirates Cove is where non-discerning gentlemen like to go to hang out and talk about Star Wars and watch cartoons and Star Trek on the television while very attractive, nerdy, cool-ass women people. Sorry, there's a lot of queer dancers there, of all approaches to life, throw their stuff around on stage.
Sometimes in my face.
And sometimes in your face. It is my own little slice of heaven in this wonderful city after hours.
That does sound delightful.
Now, the Pirate's Cove is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I have to say. And if you've never been to the Pirate's Cove on the 4th of May.
May the 4th be with you.
You need to go.
Unless you're at Wagon Con.
Unless you're at Wagon Con. That's true. If you're not, if you cannot go to Wagon Con, then plunk your butt down on a seat at the rack at the Pirate's Cove on the 4th of May starting at 8 p.m.
NPC, it's your last day on Earth. You get one last drink. What are you drinking?
Manhattan.
With what bourbon? Or rye. Sorry, excuse me.
Crater Lake rye.
That's a good choice, actually. Yeah. What vermouth?
I'm not picky on vermouth.
Fair enough.
Whatever the house is favoring. If the house is doing Crater Lake rye, then I'm assuming they have
a decent good vermouth.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And the bitters, of course, old fashioned.
Solid. Poppy.
God damn it.
You spent a lot of time before this show choosing two wines. You get one.
I didn't know it was last night on Earth drink.
Well, these are the game. These are the rules to the game now.
God damn it.
Of that massive list of wines that you're prepared to talk about, which one would you have as your last drink? I
choose between wine and whiskey for my last drink. God damn it. Okay.
Hold on. You got two hands.
I do have two hands. Uh-huh. These drinks would not go well together, though. So.
But it's the last night on Earth. Who gives a shit?
That's a good point.
You're not going to wake up tomorrow.
Well, okay, so my favorite best drink ever, I just wouldn't be able to get because I don't think there's any left on this Earth except for maybe in Matt's bar, but or liquor cabinet. But
anyway. Oh, you mean Teeling Hybrid?
It was the Middleton Very Rare. That 2010 Middleton Very Rare, but the Teeling
2010.
The Teeling Hybrid was fucking amazing. No, if it was so, let's talk about a wine I could maybe actually get my hands on. That would be a 2012 Norton from Hermanhof.
Wait.
So not the antivirus.
Not the Silver Oak.
Not the Silver Oak.
I don't even know you anymore.
So, the close second is the 2006 Silver Oak Alexander Valley. But I would have to go with the Norton from Hermanhof. Yeah.
Jacob?
Last night on Earth, last drink. I'm torn. I'm deeply torn.
Nothing's fine, I'm torn.
I'm all out of sleep. This is how I feel.
I'm cold and I am tired, waiting for Jacob to make up his mind.
So I'm going to split the difference and go Connemara.
Ooh, wow. Peaty.
Yes.
Specifically the peated?
The peated Irish whiskey.
Matt had
the peated Irish whiskey.
Mm. Okay. And If I may ask, the Connemara over any one of the numerously delicious peaty scotches, why?
Because, unlike...
It's the drink of your people?
Well, I mean, yes, of course. At its heart, I was actually arguing between Powers Gold and...
There's nothing wrong with that.
And no, there's not.
And Talisker Storm.
Oh.
And
I helped polish off a bottle of that on one of my other podcasts. It was great.
Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful thing. But Connemara, because I want to have the taste of Ireland and the taste of peat and the taste of James Walker, who is a relative of mine by marriage from the Ojibwe Nation of White Earth, who moved over to Ireland and actually worked at the distillery. And I want that taste on my lips, but it has to be an alcohol that burns enough that when I spit the last of the drink in the Reaper's face, he's gonna remember.
Nice.
Oh, you think it's smoky down in hell, motherfucker. Enjoy this.
All right, we are closing this out with the good doctor here. What is yours? What drink would you take from the hand of the Grim Reaper?
It's actually not going to be my favorite cocktail on Earth if it's going to be from the hand of the Grim Reaper.
But it's the best.
Well,
favorite and the best are different things.
The best thing for this scenario is actually going to be a cocktail that I actually created for the end of the world.
And while you're telling us about that, fill me up on some beer.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me finish this. Yeah.
Sorry. Interruption.
Cocoa cow.
It's actually cacao cow.
Cacao.
Cacao cow cow. Cacao cow cow.
No. So there was a cocktail that I developed a couple years ago that I named after my favorite Nico Case song.
Furnace Room Lullaby?
It sure is, buddy.
Goddamn right. I knew we're friends for a reason.
So many adorable, like...
We're all just like, coming together like, oh, I knew that one about you.
Man love, bestie, fist bumping going on. It's adorable.
Yeah, there is nothing wrong with man love.
No, no,
there's
no,
a good that reason that both of these gentlemen were involved in our wedding.
I know. It's great. I love you guys.
Hey, we are just here normalizing the way masculinity is supposed to be.
Yes, please.
And so Furnace Room Lullaby, I developed actually for a cocktail contest because I like very, very booze-heavy, spirit-forward cocktails, and simplicity is the key. And so I designed this cocktail to be had as the cocktail that you drink in your study in the basement of your house as the world collapses around you. And so it was a solid bourbon. Go for the 100 proof Old Forester is a good base for this. It was St. Elizabeth Allspice Dram. And it was any kind of good, I think I was using
elderflower.
No, god damn it.
I'm trying to figure out where you're going with this.
Oh, Frangelico.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was a high proof bourbon. It was St. Elizabeth Allspice Dram, and it was Frangelico. So two parts bourbon to one part. Mm-hmm. A couple of dashes of Angostura bitters. And you would stir that in a drinking vessel, put it into a chilled coupe, garnish it with a expressed orange peel over a lit match so the oil lights on fire as it goes on top. And then like a quarter shot of a peaty scotch on top.
Okay, despite the fact that my pants are twitching a little bit listening to you describe this, I do have an educational question for you. Yes. Dr. Zandermander, would you tell our listeners what spirit forward means?
Spirit forward means that the main thing that you are tasting in that cocktail is going to be the alcohol because it's not going to mask itself. It is there to go and say, I am whiskey, I am proud about this. I brought two of my friends with me. They're going to go and help me out a little bit. But I am center stage.
And I'd like to say I fully endorse this cocktail, even though I have not tasted it yet. However, I would like to make a suggestion for the holiday season.
Now, I am picturing this conversation happening here with the Grim Reaper standing in front of Xander, holding forth his beverage.
Guys.
But he's got a little Santa hat on.
Yep. It's like Xander, like Jacob and Xander are dying at the same time, and the Grim Reaper.
I like the Grieper.
Hey, it's me. If that's cool, I could be the Grieper.
Is standing in front of both of us, and I'm like, well, you know, it's really close to Christmas, and as much as I think your cocktail's good for the holiday season, let's change that to brown sugar bourbon.
I have not tried that yet, so I cannot comment on whether or not I would agree with that. However, if you bring some in, I will definitely drink it.
So, Xander, do you know where you're going to be working on New Year's Eve?
You are now the second person to ask me that today. No, I don't.
Okay. Wherever you are, you're going to be making this drink for us, right?
Thus yes. It was spoken.
And thus it shall always be.
Yes. Thus it was spoken, thus it shall always be. You have over a month. You need to make sure whatever bar you're working at has the ingredients.
There is... I might be in the middle of the woods.
Oh.
At a private bartending gig.
Well then.
Do you need backup? Because I will have my OLC by then.
Maybe. Okay. We'll talk off air. But that is the cocktail I'm going to go out with, is the Furnace Room Lullaby, because that is the best one for the occasion of it's time to go.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol, get going. Drink up, drink up, drink up, then order again.
What is this last beer that you have cracked open for us this evening, Xander?
This is my favorite of the three so far. This is the Cacao Cow Chocolate Milk Stout from Sun River Brewing Company. Jacob's making a noise, and I'm going to ignore him.
No, it's good. It's good. It's just not really good right after a shot of Irish whiskey.
No, probably not. Contains lactose, slightly sweet chocolate milk stout with Ghana cacao nibs. 16 ounces, 7. ABV, 28 IBU, brewed by Sun River in Sun River, Oregon. This is delicious.
This is delicious.
It tastes like boozy chocolate milk.
Okay, give me a little teeny
no,
sip.
No,
this is not happening.
There are rules. You specifically explicitly told us
God
not.
Damn it.
Sorry. Yep. I'll buy
Sorry,
it again.
You consented to us policing
I
your
know.
Drinking.
To let okay, before rumors start to fly. I am not drinking this evening because of a sleeping medication I am planning on taking later. And alcohol and alpha 1 blockers don't mix well.
It depends on the person, but yes.
Here
at the Bikers Dice and Bars podcast, once again, I want to reiterate that we encourage drinking responsibly, and that means not mixing your drugs.
Yeah, that's why I am drinking this fine LaCroix pure sparkling water this evening.
So again, we want to let you know, too, that we also practice what we preach. So Poppy is practicing what we preach, which is not mixing your booze and your medication when it should not mix. And so a shout out to Poppy for being awesome.
Thanks. Thank you. And I told them to remind me not to drink tonight, because once the Adderall wears off, like, all bets are off. So
dear listener, we've been talking about our favorite games, our favorite drinks, and our favorite rides and bikes. Let us know yours.
Ooh, yeah.
Join us on Discord or send us some messages via email. The links are on our website, or however you wish to get in touch with us. Trust me, all the links are there. Look down.
Join us in any of our social media platforms and join us as some of our favorite people.
Some of the best. Our fans
around.
Speaking of which, we got a couple new patrons, don't we?
Oh, our patron count is actually growing substantially.
Wait,
who
really?
Who are we giving shout outs to?
I don't know. Who are we giving shout outs to?
I know we're giving a shout out to Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy. Woo!
Oh, we got other names on the list. I think we need to next episode do a roll call of all of our patrons.
I like this idea.
Because, you know, here's the thing, as much as it's kind of a clickbaity, grabby thing that I'm not fond of, I do want to take a moment once a month to call out the people who are showing up for us.
Yeah.
I would like to make a note that my next D&D character is going to be named Click Baby Grabby Thing.
I'm going to prize that moment in my heart.
That's going to be my Halloween costume next year, is I'm going to dress up as Click Baby Grabby Thing.
Scott, I need you to force him to be in a D&D game with you so I can see this character come to life.
Poppy, can you have one of those cool long pole things with a little trigger that has a little dinosaur head that grabs things?
Sure.
Because that's grabby thing?
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah. Cool. Sounds good. Yeah.
But it explicitly targets nipples.
That's probably what it would do anyway. So
Here. I'm taking off my shirt now.
Oh, for fuck's sake. There's been so much of Jacob's nipples tonight. It needs to stop.
Does it, though?
So, dear listener, if you want more or less
you
of Jacob's nipples,
told me last
know.
Time Jacob took his shirt off and I took pictures of him in his leather chaps, bare-chested, to send them to you.
I have no memory of that conversation, Your Honor.
On that note, you have been listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Wait, can these
recorded pictures here, bare-chested and nipple-free in the wonderful inebriated wild.
Free range, baby.
Free range hairy nipples.
Why
here
am I
in
sober?
Portland, Oregon. I know.
Why am I sober?
Wait, real quick, before we continue, can we offer those pictures to our Patreon people?
We have to create a new level, and it's going to be substantially higher.
I think people should have to request them, and they need to sign a waiver.
because of how sexy they are.
So if somebody pledges $1,000 a month, we will make a Talent of Breakfast Puppies calendar.
Honestly, that would cost significantly less than $1,000 a month.
That's fine. If we hit the pledge level where our patrons are bringing in $1,000 a month, we will do a calendar of us in questionable dress.
I will do it for considerably less than that.
Don't listen to him.
On that note, you've been listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. I'm NPC.
I'm Just Jacob.
The Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Poppy Beaujolais.
And as usual,
shiny side down.
Oh, wait, no.
Rubber side down, folks.
Shiny side up, motherfucker.
I know.
Unless
hold on. You've ruined it.
I know, but
you've ruined it.
Sorry.
Do we need to step outside and talk about this?
Jacob, you have made this now the worst.
Get the nipple clamps.
Well, I don't even know if I want to go one anymore.
You do, because you know what? All of you, that was the best.
Thank you.
All of you are the best.
No.
So, rubber side down.
Yay.
Always tip your bartender.
Roll them crits, dog.
And always drink responsibly and use your nipples responsibly?
No.
I mean, that goes without saying.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end. Of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your car. But Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Yep.